Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's episode is our monthly roundtable episode, and of course that means I'm joined once again by my co-hosts, Travis, Ren, Phil, and Jay, as we're diving into our favorite horror movie soundtracks, as well as some horror-adjacent ones as well. Now, before we dive into that, just a couple updates on the podcast. I know a few weeks ago I announced that I was going to be doing these Tiny Terror mini-sode episodes every Tuesday. But unfortunately, I ended up taking a couple weekends off to go out of town, and it just threw my schedule off, and I was unable to do them and get them out on time, and they've just kind of been sporadic. But starting next week, the first week of April, I'll be coming up on 4 years of the podcast, and I really want to get back to being consistent with episodes and stuff like that. So my plan in April is to drop a Tiny Terror episode every Tuesday, as well as the normal episodes every Thursday as well. So starting next week, I'll be dropping a Tiny Terror episode on the movie Late Night with the Devil, and then we'll be following up on Thursday with a normal episode featuring Ben Roberts of the band Blood Ritual. So keep an eye out for both of those. Also, we'll be back at Keegan's Irish Pub in Virginia Beach on April 17th for Horror Movie Trivia Night. Come out if you're in the area. It's always a ton of fun. Make sure you go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on that, as well as the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, a shout out on a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So check that out if you're interested. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and let's get into this week's episode.
Oh yeah, guys. The whole crew's here. You guys, ready to jump in? I guess we can jump in with what we've been up to as far as, you know, just what we've been watching. Who wants to jump in here first with, you know, what they've watched recently?
I mean, I literally saw something last night, so I can go.
Yeah, you roll, because you got the most recent watch.
Yeah, I saw Love Lies Bleeding last night, the new A24 film with Kirsten Stewart and Ed Harris and what the hell, Dave Franco? Yeah. And I forget the woman's name. That's the other like lead, the bodybuilder chick. But like, it is it's awesome. It's a romance. But in the sense of like true romance, where it's like a crime romance. Two people fall in love and get in fucking over their head. You know, there's murder, mayhem, and all that shit. It's got a fucking wacky A24 ending that will please everyone that loves those things. I had a lot of fun. It's as I said in the thing, my like little review was that it's dramatic, it's violent, it's wacky at times, and it's like the horniest movie I've ever seen. So yeah, highly recommend.
Oh yeah. The girl's name is Katie O'Brien. I looked it up. So yeah. Oh yeah. And that's Rose Glass's second film, which for A24, which she did St. Maud. So of course, if you enjoy St. Maud, yeah, that's a plus as well. But
yeah, St. Maud was like one of my favorite films that year. So, and again, she like waited till the last fucking second to like make that movie super crazy. And then she did it. And she did it with this one. So she has found her MO.
Hell yeah. Any other movies you want to shout out before we move on to somebody else?
No, I mean, I've just been catching up on stuff. I rewatched Dune 1 because I still haven't seen Dune 2 yet, because the IMAX just continuously sells out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I've really watched.
Hell yeah.
Ren, who directed that film that you saw yesterday?
Rose Glass, as Tim just said.
I missed it.
Yeah, she did St. Maud. That was her first film. And this one is her new one. Very different stylistically, but that woman is definitely now someone, as soon as she announces her third film, I'm going to be already stoked for it.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you see anything, Phil? We're going to keep going with you since...
Actually, I've seen a few things in the last month or since we got together last. The first thing I want to mention is Satanic Hispanics, because of course, as a Latino male, I would have failed myself if I didn't watch this film. But solid, good, not great, but good. Entertaining, at least. You know, there's five different chapters in the film, each done by a different director, and including our boy from Where Evil Lurks.
Yeah. David Aragna.
Yeah. And it's all different parts of one whole, And yeah, I thought it went smoothly. There's one of the story or the chapters that's kind of out of place for the film, but other than that, yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Hell House, I did all four, just so that I wouldn't have to hear Jason talk to me about it anymore. solid. I enjoyed it. If I had to rate them, I would say two is my favorite. Then four, then one, then three. But yeah, very enjoyable. You know, it was creepy when it needed to be, violent when it needed to be. And I love how all the movies connect. So definitely was into it. Terrified, Damien Rugna, wasn't into it. I tried, just thought that his second effort was way better. So don't have too much to say there. You know, that it had gore and all that stuff, and it was, you know, it wasn't the worst film, but I thought I didn't think it was that strong. Suitable Flesh, loved it. Anytime you can see a roller girl is appreciated, and especially when she's kind of like reenacting those days of roller girl in this film with all the banging she's doing. But Barbara Crampton was great. Solid film. I definitely enjoyed it. So shout out to Joe Lynch on that one. Destroy All Neighbors, corny, you know.
Oh yeah, I did watch that. I did see that movie.
Yeah. And
it's right now ranking at the bottom of my list of movies I've seen.
Same. It's I didn't
yeah,
like it.
I think we all feel that way about that movie. We all tried, you know, and it's funny sometimes, I guess. Cheeky and all that, gory was fun, but that's really all I had, which normally I would appreciate, but I couldn't get into this too much. So that was that. And then the sadness I have to kind of finish because I kind of dozed off towards the end, but it was pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
Good Japanese horror. So I would recommend a good watch if you're into zombie stuff or Train to Busan and all that stuff. And that's it. That's it for me.
Hell yeah. What about you, Travis? We'll keep going this way on my screen.
Honestly, I don't know. I never know, man. I watch so much shit, but I mean, I've been watching a lot of Impractical Jokers. I've watched like every season and then just like started it back over. And I just keep, I've been in that cycle. One thing that's newer that I have gotten into though is, A Friend of the Family. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. It's on Peacock. It's not really horror related. It's like real life horror. I don't know if you guys saw the documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight.
Yeah.
About like,
I didn't see that, but I've listened to like last podcast or somebody talk about it. You know what I mean? Same story.
Right.
Type thing. Yeah.
So it's basically, it's a mini series, like a docu series with Colin Hanks, about that documentary. And, you know, spoiler alert, the neighbor fucks everyone in the family and then kidnaps the 12-year-old daughter and then takes her, convinces her that she's being abducted by aliens and has to fuck him to save planet Earth. And then he marries her illegally in Mexico, returns her to the family, only to be abducted again by this guy at age 14. And it was all okay because, like, he was fucking the dad and the mom. It's crazy.
Yeah. And most of it's true. Yes. That's
got some Serbian film vibes going on there.
Bill's yeah. Like, this is my favorite documentary ever.
So, yeah. So, like, they, you know, Abducted in Plain Sight was, like, the original documentary. Then they made this docuseries. But now there's an updated documentary tacked on to the end of this mini series from like the perspective of the now like middle-aged daughter. And she's like finally like telling her version. It's not like through the lens of her parents, because Abducted in Plain Sight, the parents still were like in love with the neighbor. Like they're all just like, yeah, he was like a really great guy. And like, he was just so handsome. And it's like, no, this guy's like fucked up. So I've just been in that world or in Practical Jokers. That's what I've been doing. So
hell yeah, definitely two sides of the same coin, if you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
playing a prank on the family, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
No, what about you, Jay? You watch anything good this week? I've got a pretty long list myself, but.
Well, I kind of been preoccupied with one thing. Recently, the world was met with the loss of Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball Z. So yeah. I just went through that again, man, because, you know, growing up as a kid, catching the episodes on Toonami and shit or after school on Cartoon Network, like, that really was a big part of my life. And so I'm taking that journey again because it is an epic one. And yeah, man, rest in peace to him. Fucking legend that the world has lost.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Same thing. I used to come home from school and watch like the hour block of Dragon Ball episodes and shit. And
exactly, man.
Next week on Dragon Ball Z.
Word.
No, fuck yeah. No, and then Toonami was also cool. It was cool when they like teased the comeback, you know, and then it came back, but it wasn't as strong when it came back. But,
you know, and it's in a good place now, like where they're at, where they left off with Super and the Tournament of Power. That shit was fucking awesome. Like yeah. Me and all my friends, we were grown ass adults sitting in a room like kids, like yelling at the fucking TV. Because of how hyped the shit got us. So, like, it's just sad, man. But like I said, those old school arcs, Frieza Saga, Cell Saga, you can't fuck with those, man. Like, that was the granddaddy of anime, in my opinion, because all the heavy hitters that came after that came because of that, you know? Yeah. So, you can't deny its legacy whether you love it or hate it, really.
No, definitely. No, and then I used to play those Budokai video games. Those just were fun as hell.
Hell yeah, that too. Fucking and Tenkaichi and all that.
Yeah.
Burst Limit, many, many epic tournaments after school and, you know, weekends with friends and all that growing up. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll jump into what I've been up to. Of course, I went to Monster Mania 58, which was super fun. You got to meet Sam Raimi. Spent 6.5 hours in his line, so I didn't really meet that much more other than Sam Raimi because I was lined out at that point. But the con itself was super fun. Shout out to all the vendors, you know. All the DVD guys are out there, you know, Severn Films, Diabolik, Vinegar Syndrome, Scream Team, and, of course, like, Studio House Releasing was out there and a bunch of other people. But it was cool to hit the Philly spots, you know, that Ren introduced me to, like Grindcore House and Monster Vegan, which are kind of go-tos every time now. So that was a fun little trip. And then while me and the wife were out there, we watched Ghost Watch, which was super fun. We did a little mini-sode about that if you want to hear more of a review, but I highly recommend it. It's on Shudder. And it's definitely one that if you know the knowledge behind it of, you know, being like a thing that was shown, you know, to people thinking it was real, it's very well put together for sure. My other most recent watch was Lisa Frankenstein. I thought that was super fun, but I wish it was rated R. It kind of just lacked in both gore and some of the humor, I guess. But overall, it was like a pretty mid-tier film. It wasn't bad at all, though. Dr. Jekyll, I checked out. Thought that was kind of poop. Wouldn't really recommend that. Checked out The Convent, which is on Shudder. I'd recommend that. Super fun. Call back to like Night of the Demons. Dark Harvest, which was recommended. Of course, we all talked about it in the group, but then Travis was the first, I think, to check it out and said it was pretty good and recommended it. And I think we all pretty much saw that and agreed that it was pretty solid, Dark Harvest, except for Ren. I don't know if you checked it out, Ren.
I have not been able to see it yet.
But yeah, that was pretty solid. It's on Prime for anybody that wants to check that one out. It's the latest from David Slade, who did 30 Days a Night and Hard Candy. And he even did Twilight Eclipse, I think, or New Moon. He did one of the Twilight movies, but... Then, of course, shout out to the ODU Planetarium for showing Possession. It was cool to see that in a fucking planetarium. They pretty much show it up on the, like, they cast it above the stars, but not, like, straight above you. Like, you know, like, some people, when they hear a planetarium, they think you're laying on your back looking straight up. It's kind of still, like, you know, regular theater style, but there's just stars all around it and stuff. Super neat. I saw this movie that's non-horror called Sick of Myself, but it's the same director that did Dream Scenario, and it just came out, like, January 2nd in the U.S., so it kind of was, like, or January 2nd of 2023. If I would have saw it last year, it definitely would have been like my top five of the year. It's a super niche movie about this girl who's a super big narcissist, and so is her boyfriend, and she's pretty much just trying to like one-up him for attention, and she goes as far as to like make herself sick on purpose by like taking these pills that she knows has crazy side effects. Highly recommend that. It's on Paramount Plus, I think. If you have the Showtime edition. And then the only other movie I checked out was two other movies I checked out was The Passenger, which is on Amazon Prime. It's pretty much just two guys that are like, it's like a road trip horror movie, kind of more thrillerish, but it stars Kyle Gallner. So if you're a fan of him, I recommend it. But overall, that one was kind of mid. And then probably my favorite movie of the movies I've mentioned And the funnest one was Here for Blood on Screambox, which is pretty much about a wrestler who sits in for his girlfriend on a babysitter job to kick off the night because she needs to like do some schoolwork and shit. And he ends up having to fight off a cult of Satan worshipers and shit. So it's and it gets like it goes further from there, but it's super fun. I thought that movie was just a blast. It becomes like a splatter film at the halfway point, and definitely is one of the funnest films I've seen this year. But that's on Screambox for anybody that wants to check that out. So it's called Here for Blood, but yeah, that's my long list of shit that I've been checking out since last time we hung out. So hoping to go see Love Lies Bleeding soon, as well as Immaculate. So if I get to see any of those, I'll probably do a Tiny Terror episode since we won't be back around for like another month to do this again. So, but
Tim, did you run into my buddy? I'm sorry, right now. Did you run into my buddy Gutter Christ at Monster Mania?
If I did, I didn't notice that that was his name because there was definitely some people out there with some sick merch that I like picked up. Like I picked up this koozie from somebody. It's like Jason Lives koozie. Picked up some stickers from some people and like some other shit. So he might have been out there and just I didn't catch it like a card or nothing, you
Yeah, he
know?
was definitely out there.
Oh yeah.
I gotta link you guys up next time.
Not definitely for sure, but hell yeah, I'll be hopefully back out there for this is hardcore depending on the lineup, but. I actually just booked my hotel right before we get on this for the Baltimore show for Eternal Sleep. So I'll see Travis in like a week. I'm stoked on that. So, which I'll go to see. I'm gonna catch Late Night with the Devil with Jake from my next guest from
Oh
like,
shit.
yeah, we're gonna catch that at 4 o'clock in Baltimore before the show. So hopefully I'll be able to catch, do like a little mini episode about that or something. But I'm
Hell
really
yeah.
excited for that film. But
Yeah, Diana and I are gonna go see that on Thursday.
fuck
We have
yeah.
to travel to like fucking Cherry Hill to go see it because it's only playing at AMC's around here, and like there's no AMC's around here except for like Cherry Hill or like way up in North Philly.
Yeah, no, that Cherry. I meant to text you because I almost went and saw it, but that Cherry Hill AMC was showing stop motion when we were there for Monster Mania for the whole weekend.
Oh
It was
wow.
like the only theater in the whole area because I thought about going to see it, but it was only showing at like 10:40 at night, and by that time, I was like checked out for the night. That's when we watched Ghostwatch instead at the ho hotel instead of.
Gotcha.
But hell yeah, we can dive into this month's topic, which is Ren's pick, which is horror soundtracks and just horror adjacent soundtracks. And of course, we're gonna kind of I will say a lot of like the audience feedback I got kind of shouts out some scores as well. We're gonna, for the sake of time, obviously we're talking about soundtracks, but when we do audience feedback, of course, we'll shout out people that shouted out the scores and stuff because usually they're one and the same. But for sake of time, we'll be here for 2 hours talking about this shit alone. So,
Yeah, I get this is the one like poll I put out that got the most feedback.
same.
Like by far. Like
Oh yeah, same. If you want to kick it off with why you chose this, which I mean, you kind of explained why on the
yeah, I
last
mean
episode, but and then just
yeah.
like the first album you want to shout out or whatever song.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like on the nose, like the fucking name of the podcast is Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks. So kind of hitting both of them at the same time. And I there's some like insane songs on soundtracks that are like some bands like best songs or like up there as best songs.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was like cool to like talk about because as someone who like is an aficionado of like movies and like buys soundtracks but on vinyl and like I've have like a whole shit ton on like CD and shit like that. Like I was like, yeah, let's fucking talk about soundtracks. Yeah. So I don't know, like maybe I'm just gonna jump to the best one right away. The best fucking horror movie soundtrack above and beyond is Demon Knight. There's absolutely no skippable songs on it. I have it right in front of me. It's got, in my opinion, the fucking best Melvin song, and it's like only on this soundtrack. Like you can't fucking find it anywhere else. If it's on some weird B-side or like 7-inch or some shit, I don't fucking know. But Instant Larry, which is my little handle tonight, is the best Melvin song in my opinion. But it's got Pantera, Cemetery Gates. It's got Diadem from fucking Megadeth, which is like one of the few like 90s era Megadeth that I like. It's got fucking the song by Misery slash Demon Knight from Machine Head, which is awesome. Beaten by Biohazard. Fall Guy from Rollins Band, which is like one of the fucking only Rollins Band songs I like. It's got Polycia by Sepultura. It's funny, Hey Man, Nice Shot from Filter appeared on this soundtrack before the album was out. So this
Huh.
is like this is the intro to Filter, and then one of the best Gravedigger song in 1-800-Suicide. Plus that movie fucking rules. So like it's a great movie that has a fucking killer soundtrack to go with it. So like to me, that there's not, that's the pinnacle of like horror movie soundtracks.
No, fuck yeah. I can't argue that. It's definitely one of the best ones for sure. Like you said, there's no skip, there's no skips on it. And then like it ties in right with the movie. Like it's just a fun ass mix of songs. And then the movie itself is just a fun ass movie. So
I think Demon Knight is one of the most criminally underrated films. Cause like I talk about that movie, people who've seen it love it, but there's so many fucking people that are like, I have no idea what you're talking about when I bring up that movie. And they're like, I didn't even know. I didn't like, is it really that good? I'm like, yes, it's fucking incredible. I quote it all the time. You'll just hear me randomly be like, fuck this cowboy shit. Like, it's just like, it's just a fucking movie. Or like, Avaya con Diablos to you too, sir. Like, that movie rules. And the soundtrack fucking goes right with it.
That's one of the late 90s movies that actually, like, harnesses the 80s feel, you know, still. And just isn't just rehashing Scream at that point, you know what I mean? Especially. Yep. So that's one thing that's underrated about it, as well as, like, when it came out, you know, everything else was just trying to be Scream.
I think it came out in 94. It's pre-Scream, isn't it?
Maybe I'm thinking of Bordello. I know one of them was like 97, I think. I may be wrong.
Demon Knight was 94.
94.
Okay. Yeah. My bad. I thought it was late 90s for some reason. Oh, Bordello Blow was 96. That's what I was thinking of. I knew one was early and one was like, you know, like, because they pretty much did like those two in the 90s. So, or two and big
then
ones.
Then there was a third one, but the third one like fucking didn't do anything.
Yeah. But hell yeah. But still, though, for like the early 90s to still be capturing the 80s feel, you know, not just be kind of like a wet blanket, you know, because that was like the real like bad time for horror, you know, like other than big movies like Silence of the Lambs that still get argued about even being horror and stuff like, and then like stuff like New Nightmare maybe that are just, you know, beaten to death franchises at that point. Demon Knight was really awesome. No, hell yeah. Anybody else want to comment on this one or before jumping into the next soundtrack? Or
hell yeah, I do. So movie's awesome, soundtrack should be awesome. I love all the songs on it, but to me they all feel like demo versions of cooler songs that every one of those bands did. Like none of them is like, Fall Guy is the best song on it, but I also love Rollins Band. Fall Guy is the only song on there that doesn't feel like they did it better later, but it's like Beaten by Biohazard just sounds like a B-side off of Model EO, and like all the like the Machine Head song is like okay, like it's fine, you know, it sounds like Machine Head, but it's like the songs aren't like totally formed into like being what they were, you know. So that's like my only complaint is like I like the songs and I like the bands, but they're all like, even Instant Larry, it's like not the best Melvin song, but
I'm sorry, you're wrong, but you know what happens.
It's great, but they just like did a better version of that like type of song. You know, it's like all those are like a type of song and all those bands did those songs better with other songs. So to me, like that soundtrack is just kind of, it's mid. Like I like it. And there was a lot of soundtracks in that time frame in movies, and I'll talk about some of them. Every soundtrack had like the same like list of bands, and they all like did better songs on other soundtracks. So it's like that's not even like the strongest soundtrack songs by some of those bands. So that's my two cents on the Demon Knight soundtrack.
Cool. The beef has started early.
We're just gonna have to fight next Saturday.
Well, you'll win, but still.
Oh yeah, but we can since I made you go last on the first round, Jay, you can go next on this one. What's your first record you want to shout out as far as the soundtracks go?
Well, the more and more I tried to think about this topic, the more and more I realized a lot of movie soundtracks had maybe like two or three songs I really, really love, and then a lot of other ones that I don't love so much. So I mostly wanted to highlight these movies for the specific songs that I love the most. So my top was Freddy versus Jason, because even though that movie had kind of like, you know, some not so great songs, at least in my opinion, here and there, one in particular that they featured was in the credits they had When Darkness Falls by Killswitch Engage. And that band would come to play such a huge fucking role in my life, just seeing them way more times than I could ever count. You know, following every album, being a kid and hanging out on the bus with fucking Howard Jones and my dad and Gary from Billy Club, and you know, just all the fond memories with it. That was definitely my favorite. And you know, rewatching that movie in present day, it's not as bad as people give a shit for. Like, it's
No,
violent as hell.
it's worse.
It's
Yeah.
well, okay, here's the thing. The writing is not, you know, superior, and the casting definitely isn't. That's probably the biggest flaw with that movie. But like, you know, most of the songs do hit hard. I don't like the Chimera shit, none of that, but like, you know, the movie itself, like, if you're a fan of just horror in general, the visuals can make that movie for you. That's just my opinion. So like, I remember not loving it when I was young, but watching it now, like, it went down a lot smoother. But just like everybody else, I don't know what the hell they weren't thinking when they didn't cast Kane Hodder as Jason in that. That was an ultra fuck up that, you know, they're still paying for. But yeah, man, that was my favorite. When Darkness Falls, Killswitch.
Yeah, the
Fuck yeah.
fucking Freddy versus Jason soundtrack actually has like a rare fucking Slipknot song on there. And it's like one of the only places you can find it. And that song Snap, which was a demo that there was going to be on the first full length, but they opted to like not put it on there.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like literally like one of the only places you can find that song.
Yeah, I totally even forgot that was Slipknot. So
Yeah.
there you
there
have
you
it. Oh yeah. Now, that whole album is actually pretty good. It's just the movie's kind of
Well,
whatever.
it's reflective of the time. Like
Yeah.
that shit came out like in the be like when nu metal was popping, but also like that metalcore wave. So it kind of mixes the two. And you know, like when I was really getting into music on my own, that's kind of mostly what I was listening to. You know, shit like that, Unearth, fucking a little bit of All That Remains, you know, et
But
cetera.
the new wave of American heavy metal or whatever they fucking called it.
Yeah, man. Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, what about you, Phil? We'll keep going with the Fives Clan.
Yeah. So the first one I'm gonna shout out, and I'm doing this in no specific order. I just, wrote them down.
Yeah, we're just talking about our favorites here for anybody listening. No top five or nothing. Just
Yeah,
your
no
favorite
top,
soundtrack. Yeah.
but this is an important one.
Yeah.
And it's the Traces of Death 3 soundtrack.
I didn't even know that had a soundtrack.
I was
That's
gonna say,
insane.
you gotta go with like
Dude,
crazy shit. You
the
should
whole
go.
thing was brutal death metal, 90s death metal, bro. Like, we're talking about like the beginnings of Meshuggah, Cataclysm, Hypocrisy, Sinister, Brutality, Dismember, Deceased, Gorefest, Macabre, and I love Macabre. Yeah, the tons of Repulsion, tons of good stuff on this. I could listen to this for hours and watch people die in the most brutal ways. Those were the good old days. And yeah, this was my entertainment as a teenager, and definitely one of the soundtracks that I've gone back to over the years, with happiness. So that's it. Traces of Death 3, baby.
This is the first that I've ever heard. You're like, I watched this with happiness, Traces of Death.
Yeah.
I
Phil,
don't know why that made me laugh so
you're
hard,
one
but
of the
it's just like,
times.
holy shit.
I
Only Phil would be
mean,
like, Traces of Death is my favorite soundtrack.
it's fucked up, guys, but fucked
it
up
makes
guys.
sense though that the fucking dude that put that movie together would fucking use all those. So I don't know that I've ever seen Traces of Death 3. I've definitely watched like the first one. But that makes all the sense in the world that like the guy who put that together probably like threw all like the 90s death metal, probably the shit that it's probably on there like without any fucking rights. Like
Oh, for sure.
the band's
This
probably don't
shit
even
is
know that shit's
bootleg
on
as
there.
fuck, but it's on
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And he got away with it somehow.
Because nobody knows.
But if Traces of Death 3 is probably the most brutal of them all. And they went up to five. I saw all five.
Oh, I didn't
Three
even
and four to me are like, oh shit. Like four, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna go back to these.
know.
But yeah, happy
Oh
shit.
yeah. I don't think anybody has any comments about that one. What about you, Travis? I'm sure you can
Nice.
find it on YouTube under Traces of Death full soundtrack.
Yeah.
Just play one full track on fucking YouTube.
You know what's funny? When I saw that those movies, I was like a teenager. But growing up in my era, we had like Live Leak and fucking fucked up websites and shit,
Yeah.
Rotten.com and all sorts of stuff. So I actually remember looking at those movies and being like, man, this is like weak shit. You know? Obviously for the time it wasn't. It was like, holy fuck. But I feel like the staple of the internet really took that shit to the next level.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
like you scroll down Instagram and fucking Facebook and see all kinds of things. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, I just saw a woman
Yeah.
get her head sawed off with a
Yeah.
lawnmower blade on Rotten.com, so I don't know if this is really hitting much.
Right. Like banged up when banged up existed.
Yeah. Fucking
So
hell.
one last note
Are
on
you serious?
that soundtrack real quick is that my favorite song on that soundtrack was Macabre's Night Stalker. Good song. Murder metal.
What about you, Travis? What's the record you're gonna shout out?
I'm gonna start the conversation with a like a recent one, and that's Christmas Bloody Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Because like Steve Moore from Zombie is like the music producer on it, and it's got like Isis and Earthless and Thou and like a bunch of like weird like doomy and stoner rock bands and like shit that I'm into, and I think that the placement in the film was cool. I mean that the music conversation in the film, as well as like the scoring and the arrangement of like the soundtrack, I think elevated that film to being as cool as it was for me. So that was like a modern use of like a good soundtrack and not just like a score. Because like you said, a lot of stuff now is just like the score and there's not actually like a soundtrack to it. I thought that was like a cool fucking soundtrack. It's got some bangers on it for sure. So.
Oh yeah.
I liked in that movie that the characters, when they talked about the music, they didn't just like say a name of a band. They like actually like there was some like real history of the band there.
Right.
Whoever wrote the fucking script for that like actually listens to those bands, and so
Yes.
it made those people not sound like a bunch of fucking assholes. They like sounded like they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
Right.
Joe Bagos. Is it either Joe Bagos or Jeff Bagos? But he also did VFW and he did another good
Yeah.
one. Bliss, I think, was the other one he did that was pretty good. But no, nah, yeah, I agree. He like they talked about like records, like which record was better and like 90s Metallica sucks type thing and shit. Like
Yeah.
no, hell yeah. But no, fuck yeah. That's a movie that I remember like now that you mention it, when I was watching the movie, I remember like enjoying the music, but I didn't actually pay attention to like who it was. I may have to go back and actually like check that out for sure. But
Well, like what really caused me to pay attention to the soundtrack, because I was just like watching a movie,
yeah.
was the scene where like she puts on the Earthless record. And then she's like, they're like cooking the food, like reheating the pizza or whatever. And then they go and they're like having sex while like the Santa Claus is next door, just like killing, the kid and his family. And I was just like, that's such a cool use of like a 10-minute epic stoner rock song, is to like bridge the gap of all of these like things happening at once, because it was like so chill, but like psychotic shit was happening. I
Yeah.
was like, that's fucking cool. And then I was just like, I like Earthless. And I was like, wait a second. This song fucking rocks. I should pay more attention to the soundtrack, So.
Yeah. Now, hell yeah. Now, I'm gonna kind of cheat with my, because I'm kind of anchor each round. So I'm gonna cheat with mine a little bit. And mine's not necessarily a record, but I just want to shout out the songs of the franchise of Nightmare on Elm Street. You got Dream Warriors, which is fucking kick ass. You got Nightmare by Tuesday Night, which is fucking dope as shit from part four, I believe. And then you also have Are You Ready from Freddy by the fucking Fat Boys. Like all three of those songs just kick ass completely. The whole soundtrack for Dream Warriors is cool, but like just the fact that that whole franchise pumped out three remember like memorable theme songs is wild to me. And I revisit all of them. I actually have Fat Boys on vinyl. I caught it like a week or not a week or two, but a couple months back with that song on it. So Are You Ready for Freddy's probably my favorite actually over Dawkins Dream Warriors, but that's just because I played the shit out of that one over. But
Blasphemy. Yeah, let's have to end this fucking conversation.
well, it's only like more of like a like you when you eat something so much for so long, you kind of get sick of it. It's kind of like I listened to Dream Warriors for so long that now that I listened to Are You Ready for Freddy more in my older life, so it's like I've gotten a little bit sick of the Dream Warriors thing. But no, I love all three of those. That's why I'm shouting them out, and just those three songs in general, I feel like are pretty cool. I might have like a list of soundtracks that I'll shout out at the end if they don't get mentioned, of course. But I just wanted to shout these out for sure because, again, they're like no full albums are really great in this franchise, but those three songs really stand out throughout the years of the Freddy movies for sure. So, but
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Dream Warriors was on my list too, as I'm sure it was on everybody else's here's list.
yeah.
Actually, when Ren thought that we were all going to talk about Judgment Night, and I agreed, I also thought we were all going to talk about this because obviously, how could you not like that shit was so fucking iconic when it came out. And like, honestly, George Lynch is one of my favorite guitar players ever, just because he's fucking nasty. That movie in particular, I think it's only two songs off the out of the Dokken stuff that they have, but my favorite out of that one is definitely Into the Fire, just because that's one of my favorite George Lynch solos. That lead is fucking blistering. It's catchy, and you know they were such a great band. And
That song is
I
hard as fuck, bro.
yeah, it is, it is, it is. All I mean, I would argue
Both
most
songs.
songs are hard as fuck, but like, that's one band that I'll regret never seeing, especially in their true form. Just because, you know, even the greatest of the great can compliment those dudes as being influential to them. You know, like there's footage of fucking Paul Gilbert playing Dokken riffs on a Japanese television show. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that doesn't tell you something, then you know what does.
Oh yeah. No, that's what I mean. Like, no shade towards them when I say like another one's my favorite. It's more of like a recent bias thing. It's because I've played the other one out so much because I love the Dream Warriors still to this day. But it was pretty cool that on the I don't know if you guys checked it out, but on that Dylan's New Nightmare little short film that they did on like a fan film they did on YouTube, they did a mixture of Dream Warriors and Nightmare by Tuesday Night, and it was like running from this Nightmare instead or whatever, like. I can't remember what exactly it was called, but it was literally like the riff for Dream Warriors, but the lyrics to Nightmare by Tuesday Night was pretty cool. So definitely check that out if you haven't already. But I think the band that covered it was like Freddy and the Krugers or some shit like this.
That's fine.
But no, hell yeah. But we can move into round two of everybody's favorite soundtracks and stuff like that. And real quick before we move on, though, I do want to ask you guys, how many do you guys want to go around like three times? And then at the end, and then after that, we'll just kind of go to each person and they can shout out all the ones
I
that
mean,
they.
yeah, because I have a lot of ones that I personally like, but I don't feel like we need to fucking round table all of them. So I can, like, you know, and qu quickly blister through a few of the songs and shit like that, but.
Same here. I have like three like subjects and then I have like just some I can rattle off pretty much like. So yeah, we'll do that. We'll do three rounds and then we'll do we'll each go around a fourth time and rattle off, or on the third time we can rattle off too at the end. And then we'll do audience feedback. 'Cause like you said, I'm same here. I got like the most feedback I've ever had. But Phil, we'll go with you first this time. What's your second round of soundtracks?
I had gotten a bunch, not a bunch, but I definitely had like six or seven, and then some honorable mentions. So, let me pick one that, all right, let's go with Defgasm.
Hell yeah.
2015, bro. Like what more do you want? This is the quintessential like heavy metal horror film, chock full of fucking bangers on there. I mean, you got such access, Axe Slasher. Elm Street, Nunslaughter, Emperor. Come on, bro. The list goes on and on. It's hard as hell, but Emperor's Inno Satana, Nunslaughter's Looking Into the Abyss, Elm Street's Metal Is the Way. That's probably my favorite on there. And Axe Slasher's Mark the Pisagram. Just solid. It's the best metalized foreign horror soundtrack ever. It's ultra violent, gore, and it's a great combination of Satan's music to make one epic soundtrack. So that's my next choice. And it's hard as hell.
I could piggyback off that because honestly, that was on my list too. One of the bands that did it for me on that, as I mentioned, is fucking Skullfist. I fucking love that band.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh, yeah.
I should have mentioned that too.
out of all the heavy metal bands that are new, you really can't fuck with those guys. Like, everything they have works, the vocals, the drums, the bass, the guitars, it's just so epic. But and it's funny how I even discovered that band wasn't from that movie. I remember here, just here in my neighborhood years ago, there happened to be this other metalhead kid at the time. We were both teenagers. And he was the only dude in the neighborhood. He was from Colombia and he looked like he was straight out of the 80s, walking around with a battle vest, the fucking bullet belts, long hair. Like it was kind of epic. So one day I seen him and I'm just like, yo, what's up, man? Like, my name is Jay. I like metal too, whatever. That same day I wound up going to his house and we're just smoking the hella weed and fucking drinking beers. And like, he's showing me this band and I'm like, yo, this shit fucking kills. And then like, we're playing guitar together and shit, trying to learn it together. And then I see this movie and they're featuring this band. And I remember trying to put on my pop and he slept on him for mad long. So I got to take credit on that one. But yeah, man, fucking awesome band, fucking awesome soundtrack. And they also got I think Aishon on that in that movie too. And I'm not into all their stuff, but that one particular song is a great fucking song worth mentioning too. Retrospection, I think it's called. So Deadchasm, definitely essential film if you're a horror fan in general, but if you're a horror and metal fan, then there you have it. You couldn't be happier with that shit.
I'm stoked that there's going to be a part two. I know they were seeking funding for it, but I think it's going to happen, and I'm stoked on that big time.
Any comments from Travis or Ren on this one?
No, because I actually haven't seen this fucking movie, and I didn't even know that I had a killer soundtrack. And I just looked at the fucking list of songs. I'm like, shit, maybe I fucked up.
Shit is hard, bro. You should see it tonight.
Yeah, I'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
What are you, Travis?
I mean, I love the movie and the soundtrack.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think between Jay and Phil though, they've covered all the reasons why it's rocking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it fits the movie. You got a lot of great songs, great bands. It does its job.
Fuck yeah.
I
No,
love when
definitely.
they're fighting the parents with fucking dildos and shit.
Oh,
They're all possessed.
the mom. Yeah, the mom. Yeah.
Now, I
Yeah.
enjoyed the movie.
That movie fucks, bro. Hell yeah.
Other
I did see this movie. It's that fucking kid that walks around like all the black metal stuff and he's like hanging out with that girl that's like a fucking like she looks dresses like a baby doll, basically. Yeah,
yeah.
all right, I've seen this fucking movie. This movie's crazy. I just forgot that the fucking soundtrack ripped like that.
Everybody needs a Zach in their life. That's all I'm gonna say. Everybody.
But no, hell yeah, pretty much. So that counted for both the vibes. Clan, they jumped in on that together. So we'll go with Travis. We'll let Instant Larry go last since you went first on the what you've been watching and the of course first round because it's your choice, of course. But
My second choice is gonna be the Underworld soundtrack.
what the f another one that I didn't expect. That's right up
Bro.
there are Traces of Death 3, but in a completely different way, if you know what I'm
So
saying.
like that one is cool to me because Danny Lohner from Nine Inch Nails did it.
Okay.
And that was like a time when he was like transitioning kind of like away from Nine Inch Nails and more into like being a producer and like a songwriter in his own right. And so he's got a lot of like cool solo stuff that he put on that soundtrack that's like rocks. But then he also has like cool collaborations. So there's actually a song with Paige Hamilton of Helmet called Throwing Punches that was on a Helmet record later. Arguably one of the best Helmet records. That's a whole different conversation. But it also had like cool Pussifer songs and A Perfect Circle and stuff like that, because he was like tied in and like working with Maynard on a
Yeah.
bunch of projects. So like to me, I just thought it was like cool because it's like this guy from Nine Inch Nails that I'm familiar with, and then I like his stuff, and he's working with all of these other people who I like their stuff. And like I said, at a time when like Helmet was didn't exist, it gave me like the closest thing to a Helmet song. So that really stands out for me. I think that soundtrack rocks.
Okay. No, I definitely feel you on that. That's like one that will be an honorable mention, so I'm kind of going to spoil it for me, is just like Resident Evil, for instance, because it's got like My Plague for fucking Slipknot and shit like that. You know what I mean? But the movie itself,
Sugar.
yeah, it's got some like awesome ass songs. But the movie itself, when you think about it, you think of like techno music more because that's like kind of what's more mixed in the movie. But the actual soundtrack itself had that heavy ass shit. But hell yeah. But and what about you, Instant Larry, aka Ren? What's your number two shout
So
out?
I'm just gonna get out of the way. Let's just fucking talk about Judgment Night.
Hell yeah.
Because it's one of the it might actually be the greatest soundtrack for heavy music that's ever come out.
Yeah.
It's not a horror movie, but it's a fucking dark movie. Horror fans love it. It's not, I would actually say that the soundtrack way exceeds the movie. Like the soundtrack is what everyone fucking remembers. The movie's like decent, But the fact that this was like the first like real collaboration between hip hop and metal, like, hey, let's put these two fucking artists into a fucking room and make them write a song together. It wasn't just like Anthrax doing Bring the Noise or fucking Aerosmith doing Walk This Way. It was like literally like, we're going to take these two entities and make them fucking do something together.
Yeah.
And it produced fucking gold. Like every song on that record fucking rules. I would say that the most underrated one is the fucking Faith No More Booyah Tribe song. No one ever talks about it, but that's the best song on the soundtrack.
I love that song. That song is hard as shit.
But yeah, so I mean, it's the thing. Like I said, as soon as I like fucking mentioned that we're gonna do like horror and horror adjacent soundtracks, I'm like, everyone's gonna fucking jump on Judgment Night. What's funny is like we'll get into like my fucking like audience fucking participation. No one said it because I think because I said like yes, it counts. So yeah. then everyone avoided it. But it's everyone talks about it. Everyone wants it fucking repressed on vinyl all the time. Like it's the thing that gets it gets talked about more than the movie. Like I think people forget when they say the Judgment Night soundtrack. I think they forget that there is a Judgment Night movie. It's just that's what they call this album.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, for in terms of heavy music, it's another album that's has no skippable songs. It was a fucking like time capsule of the like mid to late 90s, like or was it early 90s? I forget when that fucking movie came out, but it was a perfect storm of what happened. And like some of those collaborations, when you see like I said, like Faith No More in the Booyah Tribe,
yeah.
like Ice-T and Slayer, like even though Body Count was like starting to be like a thing, like it wasn't really yet. And so like all these like weird collaborations that came out of that, it looks like it should be a mess on paper and they produced fucking gold. Like it's like one of those like things. I don't think that can be like recreated. Like I think if they tried to do it again, it like wouldn't be nearly as successful.
Yeah. Well, and I think to that point, I mean, Biohazard did try to recreate it, you know, like on, New World Disorder, they went back and did like another song with Onyx and it's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that was such a moment in time and everybody on that entire soundtrack was firing on all cylinders that like even as like some of these artists have tried to go back and kind of like recreate that thing and it's like, you know, return to form or whatever, and they just can't do it. Like the magic's not there. There's something special about that soundtrack that it does transcend the movie 1,000%, you know.
I just also think that the idea, like it was like brought to those bands like, hey, let's do this thing, and they were like, you sure? Like, I guess let's do it, like we'll see what happens. Like it was almost like met reluctantly, and then like gems came out of it. And so when these bands go back together with being like, let's do the Judgment Night thing, and they have this expectation. There was no expectations when they wrote these songs. So I think when they're trying to recreate it, they're trying to like capture that lightning in a bottle that was only captured then because it was kind of like met with reluctance. And there was like this, there was an absolute like collaboration of sounds where when you go in with an idea of like, oh, let's rewrite fucking the song Judgment Night. Let's try to write like part two. And you go in trying to write that, like with that mentality, you're going to fuck it up because it's not going to come organically. That's my opinion. That's why I don't think any of those bands can recreate. And I think if someone tried to do that now with a new soundtrack, people would fuck it up because they'd be trying to write the Judgment Night soundtrack.
Yeah.
They'd be like trying to hit all those points. Yeah. And like, you can't
absolutely
do that. That was something that was done then. You got to try something new now.
Right. I will also say that like hip hop and metal, like the modern version, sound just very different.
Yeah, I was gonna say hip hop nowadays is nowhere near what it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean even the hip hop that was like the fucking sounds, like I mean, look at like Cypress Hill and Sonic Youth. Like you couldn't fucking pick two different things in the world, like total opposite ends of the spectrum. And they put out a really good song. Like
yeah.
Who the fuck else is on there? The Run DMC Living Color song was good. House of Pain and Helmet, that song's good.
Yeah. Fallen by the De La Soul song is one of my favorites, even though it's like one of the least heavy songs on the whole soundtrack. It's just
and like Sir Mix-a-Lot Mudhoney. Like what? Like that, like saying that, like, oh yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot Mudhoney did a song together. Like none of it makes sense, but then it like all made sense, like when you hear it. Like it's it's a, I think that's a lightning in a bottle record that like can never be done ever again. And I think for that, in terms of soundtracks, it's like one of the best things that's ever happened.
Yeah. I think probably the only hip hop artist on that album that was, it was probably easier for, might've been Ice-T, considering that, you know, all body count shit and all that.
Yeah. And but his, even when they did, I mean, it's, and that's also a cover song, unfortunately, but like, even when they decided to do that, like, Body Count was like really just starting out, and the early Body Count stuff was definitely leaning more into his hip hop than metal. He's obviously way progressed, and it's definitely a full on like metal band today. But even then, like, he was still like just dabbling in that stuff. And the idea of throwing Ice-T in with Slayer, like, that didn't make any sense. Now when you hear it, you're like, oh, it makes all the sense in the world. But like, just I would love to have been a fucking like fly on the wall when like the producer of this record was like, hey, I got this fucking great idea. And like, just to see like the reactions, like in real time.
Yeah. No, definitely. That'd be a fun episode to do, just for like on the side, is just like put together what bands and hip hop artists we'd like to see like do a new Judgment Day record, obviously, or Judgment Night record, you know?
Yeah.
But so have we gone this whole, has everybody gone this round but me? Oh yeah. So I'm going to cheat once again, and I'm going to go with kind of a little like list of albums here. And I want to just shout out like a bunch of bands that are like fake bands inside movies that have put out records. Shout out the Ain't Rights, because I got the Ain't Rights shirt on from the Green Room. The Ain't Rights music that's in the Green Room is written by Toxic Holocaust, but it's awesome. Of course, you got Banjo and Sullivan from Devil's Rejects put out a record. That was a super good bluegrass record that's actually funny and shit too. So like, if you don't love bluegrass, it's still worth listening to. Duh from Uncle Peckerhead, a little low budget indie film I like. But the band 500 Bucks pretty much is the same band that like wrote a lot of the Duh stuff, and it's very good like modern pop punk stuff. Of course, Dream Widow from Studio 666, which is like the heavier Foo Fighter shit. And then shout out to my wife for putting this one in my head. But all the songs from Slumber Party Massacre 2, those fucking songs rule. Even the girl songs like Tokyo Convertible and shit. Because that song gets
Tokyo Convertible, bro.
Yeah, every time I watch that movie, that
shit fucks.
Yeah, you'll find me the next day with a Swiffer. Just I wanna be your Tokyo Convertible. Nah, just fucking, I love that shit. So I just wanted to shout out that stuff, because like I said, I have like a list of like four or five records I'm gonna shout out as like just like in a list or whatever, but I wanted to cover every bit of like the movie soundtrack stuff. So I wanted with the faux bands and movies. But.
So a faux band is the fucking Lone Rangers.
Yes, man. Airheads. Yes,
another good one. So the Lone Rangers is White Zombie sans Rob with Brendan Fraser singing.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
The people who did the music is Jay Unger, Sean Yasul, and John Tempesta. It's a Reagan Youth song. The Degenerators is like it's a cover song, but it is White Zombie with Brendan Fraser singing.
Fuck yeah, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
hell yeah. No, I love that movie. That's one. That's a movie I quote all the time. It's like, I ain't farting on no snare drum.
Yeah,
hell yeah. But we can kick off round.
My wife is. If I sit there and like stare off into space, my wife goes, "What are you thinking about?" The answer is always swimming pools.
It's so wild to me how like badass, like, I mean, not necessarily badass, but just compared to like all those other movies, like Steve Buscemi looks in that compared to like everything else, you know,
he looks like fucking Rex Brown from Pantera.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Literally. No, fuck yeah. I love Boardwalk Empire. That's like my favorite HBO show, just because I didn't grow up like on some of the other stuff. And even in that, he looks like a bitch compared to like in Airheads, but. No, hell yeah. We can jump into round three, and we won't do our list yet, because just so nobody else spoils anybody else's round three answer. But then once we do round three, we'll go through and just do everybody's ones that didn't get shouted out. And then we'll do audience reactions. Well, Travis, I'll let you go first on this one. I don't think you've gone first yet tonight. What is your first, well, not your first choice, but what's your choice for round three?
This is, I guess, probably horror adjacent, similar to Judgment Night. But the Crow soundtrack.
Hell yeah.
Through and through it fucking rocks. Like, that soundtrack is good. The Cure song is good. Nine Inch Nails doing Dead Souls is like epic. I've seen them play it a couple times and it always gets me fucking hyped. You know, Helmet, Rollins Band, like all the heavy hitters from all of these other soundtracks at that point in time are on it, and it fucking slaps. And the movie's great. So I figured we would have talked about the trailer for the new one at some point in this. So I thought this would have been like a good segue But we didn't talk about it. So, but yeah. So the Crow soundtrack.
Yo, I'll jump on that too. The fucking City of Angels, the movie's not as great, but like even that soundtrack's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's got the fucking rarest of Deftones songs, which is one of their best songs in Teething. Like you can't fucking find that song anywhere except for on that soundtrack. And if you go on Spotify and like look for it, you can't find it. It's not on Apple Music. It's like nowhere. Like if you don't
Yeah.
own that fucking soundtrack, you can't hear that song.
I'll piggyback off of that. City of Angels with Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan has Uninvited by Alanis Morissette, and that's her best song. So,
Right.
Hell yes.
No, I agree though. Burn by The Cure has like one of their best songs, and like no, I love The Crow. That's one that I actually still have on CD somewhere. It's probably one of these little like fold out buckets that I have in my room somewhere, but
The Pantera cover of fucking Poison Idea rules too.
oh yeah. Yeah. My brother thought he was buying that soundtrack on vinyl and instead bought it on he bought the movie on LaserDisc.
That's awesome.
And he brought it home and was like, "Why won't this play?" I'm like, it's a laser disc, bro.
It's like,
That's awesome he has
whoa.
that.
It's probably scratched the shit now, but
I have one laser disc and I can't find it, and it bums me out. I have Army of Darkness on laser disc somewhere. It's probably
that's
one of the
cool.
actually. Yeah, I've never owned a laser disc player, but I have that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Those are fun to watch when people post the reels of them like putting movies in their laser disc and shit. Like I know you guys have probably watched them like on their For You page and shit, but no, those are super fun. Oh yeah. No, Crow's a good choice for sure. But shit, I'm trying to figure out which way to go with this. We'll go with you next, Ren, because this was your choice. So
All
we'll keep
right.
going with you.
So for the same reason that I like Judgment Night, I'm going to use this one. It's not my favorite, but I think it's an important one, and it did a really fucking cool thing. The movie sucks, but the Spawn soundtrack.
Fuck yeah, that was an honorable mention of mine.
Yeah, that was for me too.
So I unapologetically fucking love techno music. Like I like dance music, but I like love techno.
Yeah.
And so this album is like hard rock alternative bands with fucking techno bands. And I think some of the fucking coolest songs that some of these bands have done came out of the soundtrack. For instance, I know Manson comes with a fucking like asterisk because he's, got all those fucking charges pending. But his song with the Sneaker Pimps, Long Ro Hard Road Out of Hell, might be sans maybe Tourniquet off of Antichrist Superstar. Long Road Out of Hell is probably his best song that he ever wrote.
Oh yeah.
And I fucking love The Prodigy. The Prodigy is Pinchas Zero for me getting into techno music. And the song that they do with Tom Morello, which they might just fucking steal riffs from his. I don't know if he actually plays on it, called One Man Army. That song fucking rules. It's like a really, it's like up there as like one of the better early Prodigy songs. The Korn song at the time when I was like kind of into Korn when it came out, like I like that song, but I just listened to it today and I'm like, this song fucking honks. But like I thought it was cool that they did a song with the Dust Brothers. You have the Butthole Surfers and Moby. That song's kind of cool. You have the Stabbing Westward Joss Wink song. It's probably one of like five Stabbing Westward songs I can tolerate, but I like really like the song. So for me, as a person who loves like the rock side of like the world and the techno side, like having my two worlds collide on an album that greatly exceeds the fucking movie because the movie fucking stinks is cool, and I thought it was worth talking about. I think that I know it's not going to be for everybody, but for someone who likes both of those genres, I think especially in like the mid to late 90s, it like fucking hits. Like it was the best of those eras. Like it sounds like something that should have come out at that time.
Oh yeah, no, I really enjoy that. That's a movie that I like. I go back and forth because I'm like, do I hate it or do I love it? I just wish that the CGI would held up better in it. But other than that, it's super fun. But
I saw that stupid fucking movie in the theaters 3 times.
the
The fir
Violator
the, the first
thing.
one the first one was the only time that I like went because I wanted to, and then I got dragged with friends for because they were trying to set me up. It was like, yo, we got this good girl, you should come with us. So like I went on 2 blind dates to see that stupid fucking movie.
You know, that's a movie that they really fucked up on remaking, because
Yeah.
they've been in talks to have a new Spawn film for years at this point. They just never did it. On that film, John Leguizamo was born to play the fucking Violator. He really nails that role. Like he's like comic book level quality. But yeah, you know, great soundtrack on that film too. So that's a cool mention.
Fuck yeah. Even that song Kurt Hammett does is pretty sweet with that he wrote with I don't
right,
even remember the band he
with,
wrote.
With Orbital.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Satan.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It's just called Satan.
How can you not like that song?
But... Oh, and then you have fucking Slayer and the Atari Teenage Riot, who I saw the Atari Teenage Riot once. They played with fucking Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang. But the whoever fucking promoted that goddamn tour put Atari Teenage Riot on after the main show, like on a side stage as you were walking out, and no one paid attention to him.
Yeah. That's fucking shitty.
Yeah. Like people are like, yeah, I guess this fucking band's playing. It must have been like some kid that like won a contest. We're just leaving.
Yeah. But these motherfuckers out here busking. They put a whole stage together.
Yeah.
But you can go next, Jay, because I'm sure you won't steal Phil's choices with his random ass Traces of Death 3. What the fuck, man? I can't even get this.
Well, for this round, this is definitely metal related and is definitely horror adjacent with themes of like real world murder and Satanism and whatnot. But I had to go with the Lords of Chaos 2018 soundtrack.
Son of a bitch.
Well, black metal is more my thing than it is yours, sir. Well, here's the thing. There's a million fucking movies that could have been made before that movie. If you want to go the route of having band history, they could have done GNR. They could have done Metallica. They could have done fucking 100 bands. But they decided to have the balls to cover fucking a bunch of angry Satanist kids, you know, who pushed boundaries, and a lot of them were really shitty people. You know, number one, our man, not Euronymous, fucking Varg.
Yeah, fuck right. Varg.
Fuck Varg. But in the movie, the kid who played him is great. And you know, it's ironic too, because Varg is a hardcore anti-Semite, and the kid who played him is Jewish. You know, so I feel like that would be
good. Oh, he went on a rant about it like a fucking asshole that he is.
Well, that's, I mean, that dude, you know, the one thing he does right is isolate himself in the fucking forest, you know, in the frozen north. So let him stay there. But I mean, you know, I could get down with some old school Burzum songs, you know, but, you know, he's a shitty dude. But that, the reason I picked that is because Mayhem being the, you know, the kind of the face of black metal aside from bands like Venom and shit. They have the best material from that band in there. Like the Death Crush EP has got two songs off that, but like, you know, then you got Sodom, like, you know, German thrash legends. Who the fuck doesn't love Sodom? Dio's one of Dio's heaviest songs, Stand Up and Shout. That shit is like one of the balls to the wall heavy songs. But you know what does it for me is that they feature, well, they also got Carcass, Exhumed to Consume, which is like the grind era Carcass, which, you know, that's always a pleasure. But they have the version of Freezing Moon with Dead's vocals on it. And that is the best fucking version of that song. So much so, years ago, I did a one-man black metal band cover of that song. It was the first time I ever fucking sang and anything like that. Just it was because of that movie. Just because I had never really been able to hear a really clear version of his vocals before. And hearing that shit, it like blew my mind. I'm like, damn, it's really a shame what happened to this kid. You know, mental health, he was fucked up in the head, man. And I mean, a lot of black metal bands have that suicide for Satan shit. You know, I don't understand any of it. But, you know, he was a really fucked up kid. They were all fucked up people. Euronymous was, you know, a businessman at the end of the day, you know. But just the way that movie is filmed, I feel like, you know, obviously it's Hollywooded out, but I think it tells a good version of that story. Because, you know, nobody really knows what happened except those two guys, and Euronymous is fucking dead. So it's like, it's anybody's guess what really went down. I believe that, you know, he did kill him. You can't claim self-defense and stab somebody 30 fucking times. You know what I'm saying?
In the back. Like, they didn't stab him in the chest, he stabbed him in the back.
And then in the head, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. But like the way that they film, like the tensions, the character development, the church burnings, and also a lot of the references to movies and bands. Like the whole time they're watching Dead Alive in the fucking shop, it's just playing in the background the whole movie. You got other black metal legends in that film that, you know, they don't, you know, mention the bands, but you got dudes from Emperor, you got Hellhammer up in there, like
Dark Throne too, right?
Dark Throne. It's just such a fucking nod to the redheaded stepchild of metal, you know. And while I'm not the biggest black metal fan, you know, I like shit like Mayhem, Dissection, Belphegor, shit like that. Shit is hard, but you can't fucking go wrong. And I just thought that it took a tremendous amount of balls to make that movie, and part of what makes it magic is that fucking soundtrack, because it slaps. So yeah, that's my choice, Lords of Chaos.
I could go on and on and on about Lords of Chaos because I read the book, watched the movie, listened to
Nice.
the interviews with those fucking dudes. I think that the fucking book tells the fucking truth, and they're mad that that dude put it out. And I think when they all like try to fucking like push that shit aside and be like, no, it's not like that. That's all full of fucking lies. It's because they're covering for themselves because they fucking burned churches and like murdered people and like beat up gay people because they were gay. Like there's a whole bunch of shitty things that they do that I think that they were, I think it's a bunch of it's that they regret because they were a bunch of edgy fucking teenagers. And now they're like, shit, we were fucking terrible people. And, or some of them are just fucking terrible and they don't want to like fucking be, they just lie about it. But like, I think that that book and that movie tell the fucking truth. And those dudes are salty that like the truth is out there. That's my opinion on it. Because I interviewed Varg for Stereo Killer. Yeah, he right after he fucking got out of jail and he put that first record out, I was like, do I want to interview this dude? This is before he went on like the crazy like racist shit. So, and yeah, he was just a little backstory on that. So he wouldn't do a live interview with me because I was supposed to set up like a fucking like a Skype interview with him. He refused to do it. Then he refused to have like a live interview like over like some sort of like instant messenger. So I had to submit questions to him and then he would choose which ones he wanted to answer and get back to me. I submitted like 50 questions. He answered like 17 of them and one of them told me to go to his website for the answer. So it wasn't even an answer. And then he got shitty with me at the end and when he respond when he sent me the email back, like I in so many words like offered him a fair one. So yeah, fuck Varg. And that dude is a piece of shit. He definitely killed Hieronymus. He definitely fucking killed Hieronymus. There's no self-defense. I think he showed up because he was pissed that he thought he was getting fucking gypped on money. And so he fucking murdered the dude. Yeah, fuck him. But
Hieronymus is certainly no angel, but
oh
I mean,
no, by no means, yeah.
at the end of the day, he was also just a kid trying to make money off his imagery. You
Yeah.
know, he wasn't about it in the way that the other dudes were. If anything, he was probably just there in the background a lot of times, fucking probably scared to say shit.
Yeah.
You know, not that he probably didn't believe a lot of fucked up shit and all that, but I mean, hey, the movie, and I haven't read the book, but you know, great retellings of almost a what seems like a fairy tale on paper. You know, it's hard to believe that this shit went down the way
A
that it
lot of
did.
it doesn't make sense. I highly recommend reading the book because you're gonna read it and be like, I can't believe this fucking happened. And like
Gonna
in a fucking really isolated area with a fucking group of people who came out with this like insane music. They're all fucking kind of crazy. It must be the winners, dude. I think if you are stuck in winter like that long, you just fucking go nuts.
Yeah, and I feel like you know, say what you will about, you know, like I'm from the Bronx, say what you will about living in the hood, but kids in the suburbs, when they got isolation and time, they can get pretty fucked up. They really can.
100%.
I can attest to that shit living out in Carolina. These rednecks suck. These fucking
100%.
hicks,
No,
fucking.
I remember one time I went to Carolina, to the Carolinas, North Carolina, to visit my grandmother during my brother's basic training graduation. And she introduced me to just some kids that hung out in her neighborhood. The first thing the kid did was show me his piece. He was like, "Yo, you want to see my gun?"
At least that's the piece he was talking about, you know. But
for that.
what about you, Phil? Papa Vibes, what's your number three, your final choice of the night?
Well, he totally took the wind out of my sails because that was going to be my whole speech.
Damn.
So, F you, son.
Sorry, please get back to me with Deathgasm.
But just to finalize that thought in that movie and that soundtrack, my favorite jams on there were from Carcass, Exhumed to Consume, Mayhem, Freezing Moon, and Death Crush, Celtic Frost, Suicidal Winds, Dio's, Stand Up and Shout, Venom's Welcome to Hell, and Bathory Sacrifice. Those were the jams for me on that film. But the whole thing is great, and everything that we just covered is 100% true about that film. And depressing as all hell, but awesome as all hell. And you know, in the annals of history will be something that will be remembered and talked about for generations to come. It's an actually an important part of history, as fucked up as it is. So shout out to that film, and shout out to Mr. Culkin for doing a great job as
Oh, yeah.
Euronymous, man. He did a really good job.
Yep.
So that said, I'm gonna quickly just go over to Devil's Rejects, mostly because of the Allman Brothers and of course Skynyrd. Free Bird at the end of that film is everything. It makes you laugh, it makes you cry, it makes you fucking mad, at all these different things within those with a couple of minutes. It's an iconic scene, and that song makes it even more iconic. And it's, you know, one of the greatest scenes in horror history, plain and simple. So yeah, I mean, that's a big one for me. And what else? Let me see here. Pet Sematary, because of the Ramones, man. Pet Sematary is one of the coolest songs ever written in the punk world, and I love that track. You know, especially when I was younger, I wasn't really a punk kid, but that's definitely one of those songs that grabbed me, and is so fun, and is so Ramones that it's not even funny. But yeah, I would say that's a big one for me as well. And then should I get into honorable mentions since I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead and shoot out your
Do
honorable
you want
mentions.
to wait and do that another round?
No, because I'm the only one left to go. So if you do your honorable mentions, then I'll come in, do my last one and my honorable mentions, and then we can just do everybody else's honorable
But
mentions.
I want to piggyback on the Devil's Rejects thing real fast. That actually, I mean, it is an honorable mention, but that soundtrack is surprisingly like really good.
Yeah.
I bought it like on a whim because I was like, wait, I think I really like a bunch of these songs. But like as you said, the Allman Brothers, which is a great opening song that they have. You have Three Dog Night, Joe Walsh, fucking Skynyrd. You have the fucking James Gang, like all these like fucking
Great, great.
cool ass classic rock bands like Zombie, because Rob has fucking total say of like everything that he does, and he's clearly in his like fucking 70, like 60s and 70s era right now, and so he fucking curated a really fucking cool soundtrack for that movie. Like
Oh, you know
it's
what?
all songs, it's all songs we fucking heard a million years ago, but he put them all like together and like made a cool compilation out of them.
You Tarantino'd them pretty much.
I mean,
Yeah.
to into it, like
Pretty much.
that Death Proof is a fucking is an honorable mention of mine, and that's another like really cool classic rock album. It's like a classic rock album compilation.
Fuck yeah.
But go ahead with your final thing. I just wanted to piggyback on the Devil's Rejects.
So just my honorable mentions real quick, and some of these you guys had already talked about, but Dream Warriors, of course, and Into the Fire. You can't fuck with those two songs. They're so great, and such great additions to making Dream Warriors the film so great. Judgment Night, I'm gonna say Booyah Tribe and Faith No More, House of Pain and Helmet, and Biohazard and Onyx. Unlike Ren, I wasn't the greatest fan of this soundtrack. I did like Slayer and Ice-T again together for that cover, and the three bands collaborations I just mentioned. But other than that, I wasn't really feeling it like that. But I do want to say that it was an important record for culture, and it was historic at the time. So you got to give it its respect for that. On paper, all of these collaborations should have been great. It just didn't hit me like it hit others. But the ones that do really hit me and make this a really enjoyable soundtrack anyway. And then lastly, I'm going to get into just these are more like scores, but The Thing, The Fog, Escape from New York, Halloween, Fridays 1 through 3. And those are my honorable mentions because they're all great scores by genius men.
Fuck yeah.
And you know, we wouldn't love those films without those amazing scores. So that's my end.
Oh yeah, great choices for sure. I'll go
Timmy,
ahead and
give us your last one, Timmy.
I'll give my last one and then I'm going to do my honorable mentions since I've gone last the whole time. And my honorable mentions, I don't think are, you guys might shout them out, but more likely not. So of course I've been kind of cheating this whole time, and of course I cheated on the last time too. I went with my favorite horror theme songs just to shout out. I forgot about Pet Sematary by Ramones, so I'm glad you shouted that out, Phil, because I fucking love that song. I love the Ramones as well, just in general. But the other ones I had written down were, of course, Killer Clowns from Outer Space by the Dickies, Shocker by Dudes of Wrath, which is Ace Frehley's side project, I think, or like super group. Of course, the Monster Squad rap, and then Terror Vision by the Fibonaccis from the movie Terror Vision. Those are all some of my favorite just theme songs in general. I figure maybe sometime down the line we might do horror theme songs, but I figured with us covering a lot of them on this episode, that might be a topic we save for like, like quite a while down the line or whatever. But my honorable mentions were, of course, I said Spawn when Ren shouted it out. And then I had Return of the Living Dead, which has got 45 Graves, TSOL, fucking The Cramps, so much good shit. Donnie Darko, which, of course, has NXS, fucking, and of course, we're going horror and horror adjacent, but you got Joy Division, Echo and the Bunnymen, fucking. Tears for Fears, just so much good stuff with that one. Then you got I had the Little Nicky soundtrack, which is got School of Hard Knocks by POD. It's got Part of Me by Incubus. You got Change by Deftones, Superstar by Cypress Hill, Points of Authority by Linkin Park, Stupefied Up by Disturbed, When Worlds Collide by Power Man 5000, Take a Picture by Filter. It's literally like an early 2000s, 90s fucking, it's almost like a now CD, but like now that's what I call rock.
I was talking gonna mention that too. That's funny. And Mama, I'm Coming Home. That's my favorite song on that one.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. And then of course, then I had Scream 3, which has the best Creed song of all time, kicking it off with What If by Creed. And you also got Wait and Bleed by Slipknot. You got Spiders by System of a Down. You got some Seven Dust, some Godsmack, some Incubus on this, some Dope. So that's another good record. And then the last one I wanted to shout out, which isn't horror at all, but they do talk about Dario Argento and Herschel Gordon Lewis in the film. So the Juno soundtrack, I think that fucking soundtrack kicks absolute ass, and I listen to that probably more than any horror soundtrack, except for that's an absolute lie, but I do listen to it quite a bit. So, but hell yeah. But well, Phil, you already gave your honorable mentions, but we'll go with Ren first on this one, since, or first out of the three that are left, since this is your choice of topic. What's your honorable mentions?
So Travis and the better Bennington that's probably sitting behind him or were under the assumption that the reason I chose this was because I was just going to jerk off on, as they call him, Robert Zombert. But I will say this. So in getting into the honorable mentions, so a bunch of White Zombie songs that are on soundtracks are fucking like they're some of the best White Zombie songs, which is kind of weird. So to go with a J horror Jason, Escape from LA, movie stinks, but it's got some cool songs. White Zombies the One is on that. They wrote it, they well they had an original version which they were gonna record for the whatever was the next album. But Rob changed the lyrics to add a chorus that was specifically for Escape from LA. So the only version they have is the Escape from LA version. But that song fucking rules. And if that was how White Zombie's next record was going to sound, I'm really sad that it never came to fruition. It's got other cool songs that I like on it too, like Gravity Kills. There's a Stabbing Westward song on that, Tool. It's got the Toadies, Butthole Surfers, like Sugar Ray when they were still like a hardcore-ish rock band, whatever the fuck they were called back then. Orange 9mm, Civ. There's some like really cool songs on it, but the movie just stinks. Continue with like the White Zombie, Rob Zombie stuff. The House of a Thousand Corpses soundtrack is basically a Rob Zombie EP with some like shit from the movie in it. And one of his coolest songs, Pussy Liquor, is on there, which is like just like a, it's got a really sleazy bass line in it, which I, it one of his best songs, but it's on that fucking soundtrack. And that's like the only place it's at. They also appear on the two Beavis and Butthead soundtracks, the Experience and fucking Do America. I Am Hell, which is on fucking the Beavis and Butthead Experience, is an awesome song. It's like the one song that has, I forget that fucking dude's name that was a drummer. Like it's the only song that that drummer's on is that one song. Do America's got the last ever recorded White Zombie song, which is not good. And then on the Escape from L or the, I'm sorry, the Airhead soundtrack, you have Feed the Gods, which is one of the best White Zombie songs. So there's my Robert Zombert fucking jerking off of. But other things I like, Crow, both the Crow, we talked about a Crow one, the Crow soundtrack and the City of Angels soundtrack. The Lost Highway is a fucking really cool soundtrack, but it's like a mix of a soundtrack and a score, because there's, you have stuff like Trent Reznor does his own like stuff on there. You have the first, maybe the only studio recording of A Perfect Drug. You have two Rammstein songs, one of the best Manson songs in Apple of Sodom. And then a lot of it is just this dude, Angelo Balamentelli or some shit like that, doing like weird, like score-ish, like electronic, like score stuff, like mixed in between. It's also got Lou Reed's fucking, the fuck song does he do on there? It's like one of the only like, oh, This Magic Moment, which is like one of the only Lou Reed songs that I can like tolerate, because I think Lou Reed stinks. But the Lost Highway soundtrack, one of only two David Lynch movies I give a shit about, and the soundtrack is fucking phenomenal. It's like one of those soundtracks that's like a half score, half soundtrack, because there's a lot of most of like the 20 tracks is like weird score shit, and then there's like songs like thrown in the middle. That's it. They're my honorable mentions.
I'm a fan of Angelo Badalamenti's Twin Peaks theme as well. He does a lot of David Lynch's stuff. But what about you, Jay? What's your honorable mentions?
Well, I got a few. One I just popped up in my head right now. Ren mentioned Beavis and Butthead. I think that just that franchise in general deserves some shine, just because they put so many people onto so much different music over the years. Like even me, you know, I was a kid. I used to watch MTV, and they used to show 8-hour marathons of fucking Beavis and Butthead. And I learned so much shit from that. So definitely that. Also, some movies that maybe just use the song here or there that I liked, like Gremlins 2, you know, Angel of Death, when the fucking gremlin is transforming and shit. Texas Chainsaw 2003, they used As Real As It Gets by Sworn Enemy, some hometown heroes. Shout out to those guys. That shit is a New York anthem for sure. What else do I have here? The Scarface soundtrack, just as a whole musical score. And Push It to the Limit and all those songs, that shit just gets me mad hype. I love it. Just, you know, whenever I need that boost in my day, I throw that shit on. Some musicals, we have Jesus Christ Superstar, which is funny for me as an atheist, but that movie just fucking rules. And every song on that movie and album rule. Gifts of Maine is probably my favorite performance, because Ted Neely as a singer, like, he used to hit that high note, and he would do that shit live on Broadway and just kill that shit. Like, that dude is the fucking man, and he was doing it well into his 70s too. Like, you know, come on. Like, I respect that shit. Tim mentioned Little Nicky, of course. That, you can't go wrong with that for the time. That shit was like a feel-good album. A lot of my guilty pleasures on that one, like Deftones or fucking POD, which obviously, you know, I like a band like E-Town Concrete a lot better, but I give respect to POD. Those guys blew up.
Your fucking favorite song on that soundtrack is the Chicago song.
Oh, when it's played backwards, hell yeah. Rent, the musical. I was a huge Rent mark when I was a teenager. I saw that shit on Broadway for my 14th birthday with my mom and fam and all that, and that shit was fucking awesome. Mostly because of Adam Pascal in the movie. That dude as an actor, he's great, but he's really an underrated artist. Like, as a singer and guitar player, just the things he's been in, he also was like a player in School of Rock, which was a big one for me when I was a kid. His voice just slays, and he's an awesome dude, and he killed the role of Roger. Everybody in that movie is great, and also like the songs translate well on film and in Broadway. And then we have also the Last Dragon soundtrack, one of my favorite fucking soundtracks of all time. Mostly for the Willie Hutch Harlem Motown stuff, like The Glow and Inside You. Those shits motivate the fuck out of me. Like, when I'm down, I throw that shit on, and like I feel like I got the glow. You know what I'm saying? I have that album. That's how much I fucking love that shit. But also, last but not least, this one really has nothing to do with harder, but it does with metal. The greatest crossover in fucking history, SpongeBob SquarePants and Pantera.
Oh, I think
I was fucking 4 years old. This was before I was even in school. I was watching just TV, you know, Nickelodeon at the time, a 4-year-old kid, and I'm sitting with my dad, and all of a sudden we hear riffs on the TV when we should be watching SpongeBob, and it says featuring special guest Pantera, and he just looks at me and goes, "Oh shit, pay attention to this." And that's how I fucking discovered that band, you know. And who would have thought, you know, like, who would have thought that you could watch a children's cartoon and wind up becoming a lifelong fan of one of the hardest groove metal bands in fucking history? You know what I'm saying? And just like, just the balls that they had to present that idea to Nickelodeon, like, oh, let's put fucking Pantera on this episode and play a bunch of loud, angry metal music for kids across the world. I think that that was the greatest decision they could have made, because that shit is epic. And it's not the first time they did that. You know, like, they did a Twisted Sister song in the movie. They had some other episode. I forget who the band was, but it was just like a compilation of like fucking heavy metal riffs while they're going jellyfishing and shit. Like, you can't tell me that that isn't fucking awesome, you know? So yeah, that those are my honorable mentions.
So Ringworm is in that movie, Secret Life of Pets.
Really? I didn't
Yeah,
know
so
that.
they have like a there's like a crazy dog, and
Okay.
he listens to like metal, but like the only actual song that he listens to is a fucking Ringworm song.
That's awesome. I haven't seen that movie, but I'll check it out now just for that.
So I'm with you on Jesus Christ Superstar, 100%. Probably my favorite musical of all time, without question. Ted Neely and Carl Anderson as Judas also. You got to give props to my man because they were both fantastic. So definitely that. Grease, I'm going to put Grease as far as the musical goes. And then, Last Dragon, I can definitely agree with that. And I want to mention The Warriors. The Warriors has a great, great soundtrack. That's my favorite soundtrack ever, like as far as regular films. And we'll talk about them when we talk about the Warriors eventually. But yeah, shout out to the Warriors soundtrack because every song is perfect on there.
Best Joe Walsh song of all time in
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
Oh yeah. What about you, Travis? What's your honorable mentions?
All right. I got Day Shift because there's a Nickelback song snuck in there. It's Photograph. It plays as his ringtone, so you're welcome. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2 also has a Nickelback song. It's called Old Enough. So again, you're welcome. No, but Fear Street Part 1 has a good soundtrack. I mean, it's all like 90s bangers. So it's just kind of like using stuff that most of us grew up listening to. Also, Near Dark, it's like a score, but it's by Tangerine Dream. And Tangerine Dream fucking rocks. So that's up there for me. But the one I really wanted to talk about was Mandy. Because even though it's like mostly a score, it does have it opens the movie with Starless by King Crimson, which is like insanely cool. So that's like a big one for me because King Crimson rocks. Robert Fripp is insane. And that song specifically is like a 8 minute long just ripper through and through. So, and I think it sets the tone. And that movie's got like a lot of cool music stuff in it. The Jeremiah Sand record is wild. It just sounds like weird, bizarro hippie cult music. I own it, so it's like, you know, I'm into it. So
Hell yeah. That's a perfect segue into our
If we're covering musicals, the fucking one that we should have, well, there's two things that we should have fucking covered that none of us mentioned. One, Rocky Horror. That's the greatest musical. Fuck everyone. I don't care what you guys say. Your opinion is null and void. Rocky Horror Picture Show, greatest fucking musical. Number two, none of us said fucking heavy metal.
Right.
This like the heavy metal soundtrack is
Yeah.
animated, but the heavy metal soundtrack fucking rules. It's all just 80
Yes.
fucking like traditional heavy metal. It's awesome. That's all I'm saying about that. But I'm surprised no one fucking talked about it, including
Only
myself.
because it's animated and I didn't think animated was
Yeah, but that movie's dark as shit too. It's fucked up.
true. I like Sweeney Todd too. I'm not gonna lie.
Sweeney
But
Todd's good. So what we got, Timmy?
I was gonna say it's a perfect segue into audience. Audience, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Participation.
Participation. Yes. God damn it. Sorry, guys. I've been run ragged lately. My so the Better Bennington went with Mandy as well. That was her audience participation. So
Of
shout out
course
Laura.
she did.
She said Mandy. I think we only had one other one say Mandy as well, and that was, let me see. The only, here, I'll just go through all mine. I pretty much had Little Brackets of Horror. They said The Return of the Living Dead. Chris, and all these responses for me were on Instagram, so I'm just going to go by Instagram handles. Chris Obert said It Follows, Christine, Suspiria, and Maximum Overdrive. Then I had Rare Bird Design, which is Steven from Toxic Coffin. He says Suspiria, if that counts, although he, like he said, it's, I guess it's really a score. But like I said, we kind of like narrowed it down to soundtracks, but most of the time, you know, we typically put those things together. Jay from Cancer Bats said Demon Knight or Suspiria. Spooky Metal Bitch on Instagram said Killer Clowns. Tom, he used to play from the Cajun Strain. He was also the first guest ever on the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. He said Lords of Chaos, Deathgasm, Demons, which is a good one. Idle Hands, which is another good one. The Devil's Rejects and The Devil's Candy. Then my buddy from Flesh Creep said Under the Skin, if that counts, or Ennio Morricone score for Le Anticristo. And then Mike from the band Private Hell said gotta go with Suspiria, and then a movie that is horror adjacent was Mandy, which I'd say it's a horror movie, but he was the other one that said Mandy. Then Death Metal Elitist said Alone in the Dark, which that's my last one, and I looked up the soundtrack for that one because he said the movie sucks but the soundtrack's good, and I agree. This is let me see if I can find it. Alone in the Dark has some Dumu Bajor on it, some fucking The Haunted, some Strapping on Lad, Agnostic Front, What Drives the Week by Shadows Fall, Blacklist by Exodus, some Death Angel, fucking
and that movie is fucking terrible.
Yeah, so I'm with him. Like, that's actually a pretty good. It's got Meshuggah on it, Napalm Death, Misery Index, Heaven Shall Burn, God Forbid, fucking All Shall Perish. I don't know why there's so many fucking songs on the soundtrack, but it's got like a badass soundtrack. So shout out to Death Metal Elitist for the Alone in the Dark one. But that's all the ones I had. Didn't you? I don't know if the Vibes duo got any, but I know that didn't you get some Travis and Ren?
I got a lot.
I didn't
actually.
I did not. I didn't okay, post
my,
it.
Yeah. Okay, my bad.
I got two. Jake Dozen says Funny Games US remake, Freddy versus Jason with the Slipknot deep cut, which we mentioned, and Rob Zombie Halloween's Rule. And then my boy Adam Remy, great guitar player, says Dream Warriors.
Fuck yeah.
So I got one. Phil Vibes says Cannibal Corpse, Ace Ventura.
There it is.
Yeah.
I will say I do actually like the music for Cannibal Holocaust, because even though I know Ren doesn't like the movie, but the music itself is very relaxing.
Oh yeah, that's a great soundtrack.
What about you, Ren?
You ready for the laundry list? All right.
Yeah.
So my buddy Eddie Kiersnowski says Hideaway. My buddy Pudge, or Matt Frost, whatever you want to call him, from Frost Giant, he says Studio 666, but also Less Than Zero, and ultimately Conan the Barbarian, which makes sense for him because he's in like a Viking metal band. My friend Amanda says Empire Records has such a fun movie soundtrack, but it's clearly not horror. My buddy Brian, who used to be in a rock band called East of Anything out of New Jersey, he says Baby Driver, not really a horror movie, but it ends like one with a question mark. Baby Driver actually rules for the music because the music actually plays a part in the movie. It's a piece of the movie. Like without that music, like Baby Driver doesn't work. So I like his check for that.
That reminds me, I forgot to shout out my honorable mentions. The needle drop for Don't Stop Me Now by Queen and Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorite needle
one,
drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, which Edgar Wright's. That's what, yeah. Hell yeah.
That fucking Halloween 3 hating motherfucker, Gary Muttley from Billy Club, he gave me Demon Knight, River's Edge, because it has four Slayer songs, From Dusk Till Dawn, and The Crow. And then he says you can definitely get weird and talk about Goblin stuff for Argento and Romero. He also then later on threw in the original Trick or Treat.
Okay.
So what else we got? My buddy Tommy, who owns Agaru Tattoo, he wrote The Crow, hands down, far and away, the best soundtrack ever produced. We got my friend Spencer Ganese, who has been in a fucking million things. He's he was on The Mayans. He was in Better Call Saul. He plays like small parts, but he's been in like a million things. He gave me a list. He wrote Tank Girl, Demon Knight, both of The Crow soundtracks, The Lost Boys, Spawn, Lost Highway, Gummo, and Johnny Mnemonic. Let me jump to fucking Instagram. My friend Melanie said The Devil's Rejects. Travis Stroderman, who was formerly in Iron Price, he wrote Demon Knight Takes the Crown, No Contest. My friend Brian wrote The Crow. And my friend Kalen, who used to be in CDC back in the day and is now just a fucking merch man extraordinaire, he wrote, he said, Freddy versus Jason, Queen of the Damned, Blade. And then he wrote, period, 90s ruled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that,
that's Queen of the Damned is awful. I'm gonna fight Kalen, dude. That shit's one of the worst.
Well, that movie was terrible. Shit. That movie's awful, and I don't remember the soundtrack. I remember like Jonathan Davis was like, was that dude, Stuart Townsend, whatever the fuck that dude's name is.
Yeah.
He did the like singing voice for him when like
yes.
when the staff, and I was like, ugh. And at that point, like Jonathan Davis was like unlistenable in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I just, that's all I remember from that movie. I just remember that movie being like a pile of shit. And the book fucking is awesome. It's like the, it's probably the, it's one of the best Anne Rice books, but the movie is just terrible.
Yeah, dude. It's awful. But there was also like some shit too, where like that soundtrack was supposed to be done by like Trent Reznor and Jonathan Davis was supposed to be like a collaborator.
Yeah.
But then because of like some contractual shit, Trent like couldn't do the soundtrack anymore, so then it was like they were scrambling at the end, which is why I think it just kind of is not great. It's just like a lot of operatic Jonathan Davis, which I don't need, and like violins and shit. I'm not actually gonna fight Kalen. I love Kalen, but that's a shit choice. Movie sucks, soundtrack sucks.
Yeah, most of these songs are written by, I'm looking at it now, there's like a fucking, oh, he did give a shout out to the Orgy song that's on that soundtrack. When I think his Orgy is awful. The best thing that they, or the only good thing that they did, and it's not even that good, as the fucking New Order cover.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it, it's got, yeah, this isn't like really good at all. It's like mostly Jonathan Davis wrote a song, and then it's like Wayne Static does it. The dude from Disturbed does a song. Chester Bennington does one of those songs. The Deftone songs is just Change, which I'll just listen to White Pony and not this.
Yes.
Yeah. Godhead, not God Flesh. Godhead stink. This is a fucking terrible record.
I'm telling you, man.
Remember, man. Kalen, if you're listening, if you made it this far, you like terrible music, my friend.
Shout out to the Lost Boys soundtrack. That was a good choice, though.
Yeah.
That's a really true.
Song. Yeah.
That's it. That was my like 300 responses. It's the most I'm ever going to get.
Fuck yeah.
Definitely some good ones in there.
That was a fun episode, and we definitely shouted out plenty of soundtracks and stuff like that and scores. So I appreciate you dudes for joining me in another episode, and I'll definitely see you dudes in another couple weeks for sure for the Warriors. Phil,
I'll see two of you next weekend.
Correct. Well, no, I told you I'm not coming anymore because you said that was sweet.
Oh, yeah, right. you know.
Where's the gig, brother?
Baltimore.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, dude, rock it out, man. All right.
I want to hear all about it. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Oh, yeah. See you dudes next weekend.
All right, bros.
Enjoy the rest of your night, guys. Later. Thank you again.
Later, fellas.
See y'all.
Dudes. Peace. Later.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening, and don't forget to check back next week. Is on Tuesday, I'll be dropping a Tiny Terror minisode about the movie Late Night with the Devil, and on Thursday, I'll be joined by the one and only Ben Roberts of the band Blood Ritual. And also, I do want to shout out Fall Break, the theme song from Fall Break, aka Mutilator. That's one of my favorite slashers, especially being that it was filmed in NC, and I can't believe I forgot that when talking about theme songs, so definitely want to shout that one out. Also, don't forget about Horror Movie Trivia Night at Keegan's Irish Pub on April 17th in Virginia Beach. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on that and the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, the Patreon link is in the description. It's only $2 a month. Or you can do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. It's all equally appreciated. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and stay safe.